I want to remind you of the words that came the other day. A prophetic church this will be. In 2010, you'll see. I want you to declare that with me and lift your hands to the Lord and say, a prophetic church.
This will be
in 2010.
You'll see.
Hallelujah. Now, that puts a demand on every member of the body of Christ. And I was pressed and heard loud and clear in Isaiah chapter 41. So I want to take you to Isaiah 41. I was out in the realm of the Spirit, and I went to Isaiah 41, and I read it. And he impressed me to begin it at verse 8, which is the new beginning. But you, O Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen. Now, if you understand the language of the Lord, Israel is the spiritual man, Jacob is the man of flesh. So, he doesn't have one without the other. It's one and the same person. So, would you do me a favor? Would you put one hand on your tummy and say, inside of me
is
the spiritual person.
Is the spiritual person.
Call the Israel of me.
Call the Israel of me.
The fleshy part of me,
the fleshy part of me
is called the Jacob part of me.
It's called the Jacob part of me.
It's fleshy.
It's
got attitude.
It's got problems.
But Jesus chose me.
And God chose me.
Hallelujah. Got that clear? You descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners, I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. Now, this should press in the reality that many people reject themselves. And it's got to stop. Can't go any further with that. You've got to remember that if he chose you, it might as well be a good idea for you to choose yourself as well. Okay? The fleshy part and the spiritual part. All right? Amen?
Amen.
He has not rejected you. He has not rejected me. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. Got a clue? I will uphold you with my righteous right arm or right hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. That's their future. It is not your job to take care of that. That's God's job. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear. Now, it doesn't say you might fear when you feel like it. It really is saying, do not. It's a command. I will help you. Do not be afraid, O worm Jacob. O worm, man of flesh, woman of flesh. O little Israel, for I myself will help you, declares the Lord. That's the woman and man of the Spirit. Got it? I myself will help you. So who's on your side? It's so sweet. Your Redeemer... the Holy One of Israel. Now, if you and I listen to the religious world, they're going to tell you, you have got to redeem yourself. Get your act together, do penance, and until you get your act right, don't come back to church. Otherwise, we will forfeit giving you the gifts. Yes or no? And I'm not being critical of them, but that's where they're at. And I'm not trying to down them. I was brought up there. But God is trying to get you to think the way He thinks. And He's trying to get you straight so that you'll enter 2010 with a new attitude. So look at your neighbor and say, get a new attitude for 2010.
Get a new attitude.
Yeah. See, I will make you into a threshing sledge. New and sharp with many teeth. Now, who's going to do this? It's got to be God. I can't do it. You will thresh the mountains and crush them and reduce the hills to chaff. You will winnow them. Notice it's you that's going to do these things. You will winnow them and And the wind will pick them up. And a gale will blow them away. So again, it's the Holy Ghost that's going to what? Blow them away. Whenever you see the word wind, that's the Lord's wind. It's the Holy Spirit.
I have whirlwind.
Yes. But you will rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel. The poor and the needy search for water, but there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst, but I, the Lord, will answer them. So whose job is it? The Lord. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will make rivers flow on barren heights. There's your...
Aqueduct.
See? I will make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within the valley. I will turn the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into springs. I will put in the desert the cedar and the acacia, the myrtle and the olive. I will set pines in the wastelands and fir and the cypress together. Now I'm going to give you a little something that I never knew. When we went to Israel, our tour guide said, do you realize why there's so many pine trees on the mountains? Wherever they've been replanted. And we had no clue. I mean, would you choose a pine tree? I wouldn't choose a pine tree to put on a mountain. I'd stick something good up there, you know. But a pine tree is kind of, you know. And I never knew why. Huh?
Grows fast.
I thought that was the reason, too. But there's a better reason, which we never knew until Israel, is he? Our tour guide said, the reason we put pine trees is because not only do they grow fast, but they have all these quills that come out. Okay? And when the wind blows from the ocean, which is bringing all the desert sand from the desert, there's a windstorm. That sand gets deposited on the mountains, creating new land on the rocks. And I thought, oh my God, because then they get rain, and the rain is going to loosen up all that dirt, and it falls on the top of the mountain, recreating the dirt that was there and designed by God to be there. And the root system of the tree holds it there. I never knew those quills were holding the dust and it would reform new dirt on the mountains. Yeah. So these are all people. Every one of these trees are different types of people. And he's planting them. I will put in the desert the cedars and the acacia, the myrtle and the olive. And by the way, they're all specialists for something. Now I told you about the pine, right? But there's more. The firs and the cypress together, so that people may see and know, may consider and understand that the hand of the Lord has done this, that the Holy One of Israel has created it. So I read all that and I stopped there because when I tried to go further, there was a press in my spirit. That's as far as you go. Okay, Lord, now what? And I heard John 17, so come on with me. to John 17, because that's where I'm going to take you, where he took me. John 17. And I thought he wanted me to read the beginning, and he said no. But these are the words of the Lord, and they're red in your Bible if you've got a red letter edition. So start with verse 25. Righteous Father, the world does not know you. I know you. And they know that you have sent me. They have knowledge of. John 17, verse 25.
Got it.
I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known. The continuation is a wonderful word, because it shows you that he's not finished, even though his earthly ministry is going to be changing. Okay? You with me so far? To make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them. The love that I have for the Father is inside of me because of Jesus. That's the Israel. Try it on for size. The love that I have
for the Father
is coming from Jesus. That's living inside of me. That's why there's harmony. I'll back it up again. 26. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. The indwelling of His Spirit is a reality that you cannot shake loose. And when you get that truth within you, all of His power, all of His attributes are inside of us. Is Jesus prophetic?
Mm-hmm.
Is Jesus prophetic?
Yes.
Then who is prophetic?
We are.
Is Jesus a seer?
Yes.
Does He have visions? Does He operate in that realm? So do we. Because His Spirit is within us. And when we tap into that truth, it's going to shake this box that you've got on top of your shoulders. So, I'm going to take you a little deeper now. You're going to look maybe shaky, and it's okay if you get a little shaky. Okay? And I'm going to give you a few more scriptures because He wanted me to go a little deeper, so we're going to go a little deeper. John 14:20. On that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. How much clearer do you want it? Notice it's the same. The same coordinates. John 17:23. Goes a little deeper yet. I in them, you in me, may they be brought to complete unity. To let the world know that you sent me and you have loved them even as you have loved me. Notice again the harmony of love. The reality that He's inside of each of us. We're connected to the Father because of His Spirit. And you'll confirm in Romans 8:10. Now how does that happen? The Jacob part of me goes for a ride. The Jacob part of me goes for a ride. Go to Galatians 2:20. See, I'm trying to break it down so that you can see the process of where you're at. The real transformation is the crucified life. The old life dies, and that the new man lives. The spirit man, the Israel of you, comes to life. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. Now, if you take that and transform the word Christ, it's the anointing. So I would dare to have you say, I have been crucified with the anointing. And I no longer live, but the anointing lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So notice his example is not something you and I are living. How many have had a few crucified moments during these holidays? Yeah. So you saw the old Jacob, and I pray you saw the Israel also. Because sometimes you see Jacob come back, and he retaliates. But then the Holy Spirit comes from within and says, ah, did you do this in love? And that's how it works. And so if it's on a practical note that you see yourself growing, then you don't give up on yourself, but you forgive. Forgive those who injure, and forgive yourself. And go a little higher. Obtained by faith in Ephesians 3:17. It talks about faith in Galatians 2:20, but now it's going to go a little deeper in Ephesians 3:17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love. Now, the next verse says, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Notice again, it's the unity of the body, the people working together in love in order to go forward and to make an impact on the world. Now, it's going to be your world that you're going to impact first. You're also going to impact those you work with. You're going to impact those that you're in everyday contact, family. Okay? One more. Colossians 1:27. See, I'm taking time to give you these because I don't want you to miss out. I want you to have enough ammunition so that when you see Jacob come back to life, Israel will be able to defend you. That's the man and the woman of the Spirit declaring the word of truth over the circumstances. Colossians 1:27, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of his mysteries, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The anointing inside of you. The anointing that was in the Son, Jesus, is inside of you. And it is going to increase. That's the hope of the glory to come.
It increases as we become overcomers.
That's right. And if there's nothing to overcome, what happens?
Weakens.
What happens and why? Pete, give us some insight.
No exercise.
No exercise. Thank you.
No exercise. Jelly belly. That's pretty much all you can say.
Yeah, but you see, in the realm of the spirit, sometimes when we have too many problems heading our way, we kind of panic. Right or wrong?
Correct.
And the enemy is going to show you some facts. He can't show you the truth because he'd show you Jesus. But he's going to show you the facts. And I'm sure Olivia had to look at her knee. And I know the feeling because I had one of those. many years ago. Two surgeries later and lots of antibiotics, God set me free. But the enemy wanted the leg. He didn't even get it. Okay?
Get mine either.
I know. But he wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
But too bad. Because you see, the facts were there, but the truth was, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And you trusted him, and he came through.
He sure did.
Truth changes facts.
Truth changes facts. Now, how do you get the truth to change the facts?
Stand on the word.
Give me some examples. See, standing on the word sounds great. All right, the confession. That's how you stand. You confess what he says about the situation, not what you feel or not what you see. Go ahead, Pete.
When you believe more of what God's word says,
thank you,
regardless of what the circumstance is.
But you've got to choose to believe it.
You have to stay there.
Yeah. That's what she means by standing. Whether the evidence is proven in the negative or the positive, you are holding on to the promise.
Somebody needs this. Write down the word fear. F-E-A-R in a line down.
Okay.
Appearing false. Evidence appearing real.
Okay.
I
remember when the Holy Spirit many years ago told me to use the enemy as a barometer. And that was such a gift. He said, if you're doing something that's absolutely on target for the Father, you're going to get all kinds of whiplash. In other words, reactions.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh my God, what a difference. And I had taught this to my son, Gary. And I had shared with him a couple of things that I had pressed in my heart to share. Well, a few weeks goes by, and he's on his way to church on a Wednesday. I think it was a Wednesday. He said, Dad, so I got so mad because he was aware, because he went through some of the same similar tests that I had shared with him. He says, I reminded him that if he's going to bug me that much, I'm going to double my time in church. He says, it let go immediately. Because I declared, I'm just going to double what I'm doing for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the transition point. After that, he says it was smooth sailing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, he had made that quality decision to go forward in spite of the emotion, in spite of, like you said, the garbage that was hitting.
Well, you know, we're taking more ground.
Yes.
Reaching a higher level. And he's got to move, and he knows he's got to move.
But he don't like it.
No.
But that's okay. And the dying to self is also procedural.
Mm.
You know, it grows. It goes higher. It goes higher and higher. And obviously the next level. Let's lift our hands to the Lord. Father, we ask that you would just give grace to every single member of the house of prayer. All those that have been calling for intercession and for prayer. We believe, Lord, that you have a plan of salvation for every need, every difficulty, every hardship. And we believe also, Lord, that those who have written messages on the internet, Father, that your faithfulness will watch over them. Your angels will complete the mission on every single need for this year. And then a beginning of new things for this prophetic church will be that the prophets will be able to prophesy out in the realm, not necessarily always here, but out in the realm. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
In Jesus' name. So share some hugs with each other.